Well, amen, amen. Good to see each of you here. Aren't you glad you're here on this nice, chilly, rainy night? Amen. I told my wife, I said, it's a night to take a nap, not to go to church. But since I'm preaching, I better go. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, if you'd turn there, please. Genesis chapter 3, it's good to see each of you here. I really do appreciate you coming. It's a blessing to preach here and to fill in for Pastor Angel. And there's no doubt he's the best. There is no doubt. I'm disappointed when he's not here. But I'm glad that God uses him greatly in other areas. And I didn't know he was preaching the missions conference. I text preachers on Sunday morning, a lot of them. I pray for a lot of preachers on Sunday morning. And one of them's Brother Harrison. He texts back and said, we started a missions conference this week. And then I think it was Sunday afternoon, maybe Sunday night, I got a text from preacher saying, I'm going to be preaching a missions conference at Brother Harrison's. Would you preach for me Wednesday night? And so I said, sure, and glad to do so. Been busy. My wife and I have been traveling on the weekends. We have been going to different churches that are without pastors, without a pastor. Been in Canton, Illinois, Calvary Baptist Church, since 1st of August. They asked me to be an interim pastor, missionary pastor, whatever you want to call it, spare tire, whatever. And put me on till the new one comes. And it really is, it's an interesting dynamic. I go in and I preach on Sunday morning, Sunday school, church, and then Sunday night, and then drive back home Sunday night. And they do all the work, and I just get to preach. And I do a lot of, I do some counseling, but it kind of keeps the ship going in the right direction. And some of the men have stepped up and done just amazing things. And we started out in August, they were running about 40 or so, and it really dropped down. Last Sunday, we had over 90, three baptized, buses were up. It was just tremendous. I told them, I said, all this church needs now is a pastor. That's all they need. And so I got a call this afternoon from the deacon, and he said they have a man coming in a week from Sunday, not to candidate, but to prospect, see if they, if he wants to go and so forth. So I'm excited about that. In the meantime, we had other meetings scheduled. I preached a missions conference for Brother Jason Monkowski, Grace Baptist Church at Quincy, Illinois. I had a tremendous time, had a great time with Brother Monkowski, doing a great work, just tremendous work there in Quincy, Illinois, and we had a great meeting. I appreciate it. Now, the reason why I say all that is because I know you folks pray for us, and I want to say thank you. It is evident that God answers prayer. And so I appreciate it. Thank you. I really do. Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at these verses. A very familiar story, so I don't think I'll give you anything new tonight, but just something to remind you. Maybe a little bit of a kickstart for the couple's retreat. I don't know. It's the title of the message is Satan's Subtlety. Satan's Subtlety. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. I apologize. Would you all stand, please? We'll read these verses together. Read these verses. And I'm sorry, I should have had you stand. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Satan's subtlety. Father, we pray now that you bless the reading of your word tonight. Help me, I pray, to be a help to thy people. Thank you for this place, our home church. And we ask that you would help me to be Help me to preach correctly and clearly and concisely, I pray, in the time given. In Jesus' name, and for thy sake we pray, amen. You may be seated. Communication, and I've said this many times, communication is the key to any relationship. I'll say that again. Communication is the key to any relationship, especially between husband and wife, and even more importantly, our individual communication with the Lord is absolutely essential. Duke University NCAA basketball legend and retired coach Mike Krzyzewski has a list of fundamental qualities that make every team a great team. The number one quality on that list is communication. No wonder, 10 NCAA championships, 5 gold Olympic medals in basketball. Our text and the interpretation of the text is very simple. Satan had taken on the form of a serpent. He was more subtle than any other creature. Subtle means cunning, crafty, a trickster, Mr. Slick. That brings me to my first point. Satan is a master at dialogue. He's a master at communication. He's master at it. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "And he, Satan, said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." Satan initiated the communication with the woman. He's a master at this. God calls Satan the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. No wonder television, the internet, Facebook, social media can be so deviant and so dangerous. Satan, listen carefully, Satan wanted the woman to follow him on Facebook, to follow him on Twitter, to follow him on Instagram. Satan is a master at dialogue, folks. Satan's goal in this dialogue is not just to deceive the woman, but to deceive and to destroy all of mankind, which at that time was only two people. Adam and his wife. By the way, it's very interesting. There's so many questions I have in the Bible that I don't know if I can find out until I get to heaven the answer. One of them is, Eve is not called Eve until after the fall. Did you know that? In the first three chapters, she's called the woman. I never realized that until I was studying for this. And so I'll call her the woman instead of Eve. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Satan's goal in this dialogue was not just to destroy the woman, but to deceive and to destroy all of mankind, which at that time was only two people, Adam and the woman. And according to God, Satan succeeded. Because in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 9, the Bible says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." He's a master at dialogue, folks. He's a master at this. Satan is a master at dialogue. Be careful who you're listening to. Be careful who you're listening to. Can I remind you what Hebrews 13:7 says? It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." Now, who do you think that is? That's your pastor. Listen carefully to the next three words. Whose faith follow? Do you understand why they ask you to push that follow button? Push that. They want you to listen to them. They want to dialogue with you. They want to talk to you. They want to get in your head. But the Bible says we need to listen to the man of God who preaches the word of God to us regularly. Whose faith follow? Now, it doesn't mean that if he drives a Ford and you want to drive a Chevy, that's okay. All right? But whose faith follow? When he's preaching the word of God, follow it. Follow it. Who are you listening to? There's a... I got to be careful about the stories because they do listen to me down at Canton, so I'm going to be careful about what I talk about. But there's a couple people that have drifted away from the church, and I can almost guarantee you that they're listening to somebody else other than the preaching of the Word of God. And so be careful who you're listening to. We don't have a leadership problem in our country. We have a followership problem. We have a followership. Everybody's following everybody. Wait a minute. We got one book.
One Lord, one God. Why don't we listen to the word of God that the man of God preaches and follow him? I tell young converts, I said, look, told a lady at Canton the other day, I said, if you'll take and listen as I preach the word of God, write down questions. And I said, within a few months, if I don't answer those questions, come back and ask me the questions. But most likely, God will, through the man of God, answer your questions. And that brings me to the second point. Satan is a master at deception. He uses dialogue to deceive. Deception means to go astray, to err, seduce. Deception has to have some element of truth. So it's a half-truth stuffed full of lies is all it is. The skin of truth stuffed full of lies. Satan approached the woman. But make no mistake about this. He wasn't just after the woman. He was after both of them. Well, you know, we all blame each other. You know, blame my wife or blame the husband. Can I tell you? Why don't we blame the devil? Why are we always blaming God? Why wouldn't God do this? Why doesn't God do... Wait a minute. God's the one that gives us breath to breathe and life to live. And Jesus is our Savior. Why are we blaming him? Let's put the blame where it belongs, on Satan. And Satan's approached the woman. Make no mistake, Satan was going after both the woman and the man. He wanted to destroy the man and is still trying to destroy male leadership. Satan approaches men and women differently, however. Because if you don't realize this, men and women are different. And there's only two genders. This is not in my paper, but I'm just going to say it anyway. There's only two genders. If somebody dies, and 100 years from now, they dig up their bones, they're going to do a DNA test on it, and it's either going to be male or female. There ain't anything in between or outside of that. Amen. But Satan approaches men and women differently. Satan approaches women and deceives women with ideas. The idea of being like God was just fascinating to this woman. The idea of knowing all that knowledge and being just like, it fascinated her. Ideas, they just fascinate women. And I'll prove it. How many of you men, you would change the bed comforter on your bed every quarter? Like for every spring, every summer, every fall, every winter. How many of you men would do that? I didn't think I'd see a hand in the room. You put the comforter on in the wintertime, you take it off in the summertime. Amen, fellas? But why do you have to have, and why do, my wife's not in here, so I can preach this, all right? I got great courage right now. Why do you have to have 15 pillows on a bed when only two people sleep in it? Somebody came up with an idea. Some woman down in Texas that has some kind of magnolia farm came up with some kind of idea. And I just think I got to be just like that because that'll make me so successful. And fellas, you're allowed to say amen right there. But I'm getting to you right now. Satan approaches women and deceives them with ideas. And I'll say this now. I'll probably say it again. Eve, or the woman, was deceived in this fall. And that's Bible. I'm not anti-woman. My mother was a woman. I love my mother. I married a woman. Amen. I got four sisters. So I'm not anti-woman. I'm just saying what the Bible says. The woman was deceived in the fall. How does Satan get us men? By being indecisive. Adam stood there and did nothing. He did nothing. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived. He knew this thing wasn't going to work. But he didn't do anything. I want to prove this. How many of you ladies, your husband has said, I'll get to that job at the house or that honey-do list. I'm going to get to that one of these days. Don't raise your hand. He hasn't done it yet, has he? He just hasn't decided to do that yet. We become indecisive. We don't do anything. The idea that they are going to be like gods was so appealing to the woman that if you would have asked this woman in the midst of the conversation with Satan, she was convinced that she and Adam would be like gods. She was deceived. Adam, on the other hand, knew it wouldn't work, and did nothing. Someone once said the woman looked, she lusted, she lured her husband, but first she listened to old smutty face. Adam should have stepped in front of his wife and said, "Look, listen, pal, don't talk to my wife like that. I'll cut your tail off about right behind your ears." Amen. I'm not a brawler or a fighter. I don't mind sometimes wanting to get in a fight. We were at Canton 2 weeks ago. Where's my wife? She's in the nursery. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And 2 o'clock in the morning, all kinds of commotion out in the hallway and people just yelling and screaming and fighting out in the hallway. And there was a wedding, believe it or not. Went to a wedding and a fight broke out. Can you imagine that? But anyway, they were fighting, drunk. They were just yelling and screaming. And Debbie said, "Don't go out there. Don't go out there." I said, "It'll be fun. Just go hit somebody, man. I'm telling you, just get in the middle of it." I didn't have my ball bat with me. I had no gun. This is terrible. I called down to the desk and some teenage girl was working night shift. I said, "Ma'am, this is room 402. I said, "Do you need any help?" A long pause. "I'll call you right back." About 5 minutes later, police come and carry him off and all that stuff. I'm not a fighter necessarily. I just, I'm not afraid to. But I'm telling you, you say some words around my wife and I'm going to come unglued. I don't care how big you are, how many there is. You just don't say things like that around my wife. And Adam was so indecisive. And by the way, God held him accountable. He held him accountable. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned." He's the one that is held accountable. Satan tried to get the woman to assume authority. Listen carefully to this statement. Satan tried to get the woman to assume authority that was not given to her, and tries to get the man to relinquish authority that wasn't given to him. Genesis chapter 2, we won't take time to read it because of time, but Genesis 2, 15 through 25. God gave the command, and it was only one command. God gave that to the man. And it was his responsibility to keep that command and to give that command to others. Adam, again, is ultimately held responsible for the fall. Deception, listen carefully to this statement. Deception is so dangerous because a person can't see that they are deceived on their own. It takes the truth to point it out and point out their own deception. That's why it's so dangerous. Nobody wants to say, "Hey, I'm deceived. I'm hoodwinked. I'm stupid." Nobody wants to do that. It takes truth. Somebody pointing that out. Number three, Satan is a master of doubt. He's a master at dialogue. He's a master at deception. He's a master at doubt. Genesis 3:1, "Yea, hath God said." Are you sure that's what God said? The opposite of doubt is faith. In Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." He is God. There is no greater. "And then you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Doubt has been created by over 200 English translations of the Bible. Satan hates God's Word, and especially the King James Bible. Why would you listen to anybody that doesn't preach from the King James Bible? Number four, Satan's a master at dialogue. He's a master at deception. He's a master at doubt. Satan loves division, discord, and disorder, whether between husband and wife or God and man. In Genesis 8:3, Adam and the woman heard God walking in the garden and they hid themselves. They separated themselves from the presence of God. That's a division, not unity. When there's deception, there's division between God and man. There can be division between husband and wife. There can be division between parents and children. When there's deception, there can be division between father and son, or mother and daughter, or pastor and church member. Satan's a master at this. Can I tell you, he has been at it for a long, long, long time. I really believe that this whole internet movement, though there are some things that are good about it and so forth, in fact, people are texting me today and said, I couldn't make it tonight, Brother Bragg will be watching you. And I'm glad for that. But can I tell you, he is the prince and power of the air. We best be praying 24/7. Pray without ceasing. Keep the line of communication with God going. By the way, that's why it's so important that you read your Bible for yourself. Prayer is so vital. And I said, read the Bible for yourself, not just study your Sunday school lesson. Not just study the lesson you're going to teach the next time. You read it for yourself. I need this. This is God speaking to me. And then when I pray, I'm speaking to Him. I'm telling you, that's a communication. That's a line that cannot. I'm telling you, it's essential. It's essential that we keep that line open with God. It's essential. Number five, Satan is a master at destruction. Genesis 3, 6, and 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Satan destroyed two people with one lie. Satan says, come on, it's okay, come on and sin. It's not that bad, come on and sin. And then as soon as you do, he says, look what you did. God, on the other hand, says, don't sin, please, don't sin. But when you do, he says, come back, don't stay long. Man-made religion was created at this time. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 7. Man-made religion was created. By the way, I think if I only had one book of the Bible, I think I'd take the book of Genesis. Almost every doctrine in Scripture is found in Genesis, because it's the beginning. But listen to this. In verse number 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Man-made religion. The first church of the fig leaves was created in Genesis 3:7. Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs 28:13 says this, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Satan's the master at destruction. He loves to destroy. The disorder that's going on today in this world is an antichrist movement, is what it is. He's a master at it. Let me give you the final point. God has the perfect deliverance for Satan's deception. He has the perfect deliverance. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 11. It says, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And by the way, you say, well, it was just a tree. No, it was a command from God. That's the big deal. It's a command from God. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. It's that woman's fault. Verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Of course, there we go, the blame game, you know. It's his fault. No, it's her fault. Can I tell you, happy was the day when my wife and I realized we're on the same side. We're on the same side. And Satan works on us differently. Verse 14, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Let me just stop right there. This is bragology, okay? So it's my opinion, as the preacher says. It's my opinion. I believe that in hell, people will not have arms or appendages. They'll be like Satan, a serpent. Because the man in hell said, could you let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. He had no hands, and had no fingers. More like Satan. That's my opinion. Verse 15, great verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between Satan and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's speaking of Jesus, by the way. You can follow that all the way through. It is Jesus. By the way, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for man's deliverance from Satan's subtlety. Jesus is. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will multiply thy sorrow, so forth. You know the curses that were given. God loves us so much that he does not want mankind to stay in his sin. And he doesn't want us to be deceived. He wants to clothe us. And by the way, I preach a message on the aprons of fig leaves or coats of righteousness. Which do you want? And he clothes us in his righteousness. He puts coats of skins. Look at verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. What a message right there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and he hath made him, that's God the Father, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. I'm telling you, we're saved forever. June 13th, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I put that robe of righteousness on. Hallelujah, delivered. Delivered, amen. Wait a minute. Now that I'm saved, can I still be deceived? Well, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I said, Brother Bragg, what's the point to the message tonight? Well, since we can't see our own deception or the deception that is being played upon us, we must ask God to show us where we are deceived. We need to go to him and say, God, show me where I'm being deceived. Please, show me that. Listen to this verse. We love this verse. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. But the verse before that says this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Maybe we need to do what the psalmist did and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Now listen to the next phrase. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Maybe Ed Bragg needs to go to God and say, God, I want to confess my sin. Please show me where I'm deceived. Show me what's happening. Show me where I'm being deceived, if I'm being deceived, so that I might confess that to you. King David thought he was doing right. He took Bathsheba, had Uriah killed. He was, and after she had gone through her widowhood, then married Bathsheba, thought he was okay. Until the preacher came to him and said, thou art the man. Whoa. I'll never forget, I'm closing my book, putting my paper away. I'll never forget, first time this truth ever hit me was, I was a young preacher, probably early 90s. And I went to, we were trying to build a building. We're out of space, we're trying to build a building, and I needed to know how to raise money and so forth. I went to hear, the older gentleman, I can't even think of his name right off the top of my head, but the other two preachers that were there were S.M. Davis and Jim Brown, Brother Jim Brown from Arkansas, from Batesville, Arkansas. And I started talking to Brother Brown, and Brother Brown, he took a church there in Missouri, in Carthage, Missouri, a few years later. And so I called him, and I said, Brother Brown, I'd like to come down and talk with you, and maybe you could help me with the building and so forth. And he said, sure. So my wife and I went down, and he was very kind to us, let me preach and put us up in a motel. And we went out to eat and had a real nice time. But I took all my paperwork to him, and I laid it all out in front of him. And I told him all the problems that I saw with this building. And I'll never forget this. He pushed that paper back at me, and he said, young man, you don't have a financial problem. You've got a heart problem. Whoa. And he, for the next 5 minutes, just very kindly, grace seasoned with salt, and explained to me my heart problem. You say, what'd you do, Brother Bragg? Well, I got mad and I walked out. No, no, no. I said, thank you, Brother Brown. And I got my heart right with God. I couldn't see it. I was being deceived. I was deceiving myself. Somebody had to tell me. By the way, that's why it's important to show up at church. That's why it's important to be here. Maybe we just need to say to God, God, it's not my wife. It's not my children. There's something here I need to know. Would you show me? Am I being deceived? By the way, be careful about the question. He'll answer that question for you. He will. Father, we pray now that you bless what we said tonight. Lord, I pray that you are pleased with the message. Father, I pray that you'd bless the invitation. Lord, I pray that you'd use it for thy honor and glory. And Lord, I don't know. I'm not here enough to know. So I pray that whoever heard this, if they don't need it tonight, maybe in the future. Lord, I pray that if either young people or not so young people maybe need to ask you, search me, O God. Try me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Know my thoughts. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight, we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm just going to ask one question. I mean, say, Brother Bragg, I know that I know. If I died right now, go to heaven. I have no doubt about it. Would you slip your hand up big and high and say, that's me. I know it. Hands down. Is there anyone that say, Brother Bragg, I don't know that, and I'd like to know? Anybody at all? Not at all. I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, would you stand? And the pianist will play a couple of verses. If you need to use the altar tonight, you come. Father, bless the invitation, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. For thy sake, we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? And the first note of the invitation, God dealt with your heart, you come. Use the altar.